Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, March 16th, 2016 edition of the Sands and Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Orlando, Florida. Mid last year's, a number of browser makers did announce a new interesting proposal for something they called WebAssembly. WebAssembly essentially is compiled JavaScript that's being pushed from the server to the client as essentially a binary. This is a departure from the use of scripting languages for a lot of client-side web development, and of course has some interesting security implementations as well, given the problems we had with similar approaches like Flash and Java in the past. Now, up to now, it was really just a proposal, but we do see now first actual implementations showing up, and a blog post of Mozilla.org summarizes some of them, including showing some first code demos in the form of a little game. The advantage, of course, is supposed to be faster execution and also faster load times, as the compiled version of the JavaScript, of course, is supposed to be more compact than the original. So take a look at the blog post and see if the demo runs on any of the browsers that you're using, but it's certainly something to get ready for, and you'll probably see it in some larger sites within about a year. Since WebAssembly really is based on a subset of JavaScript, if the browser does not understand WebAssembly, the JavaScript source code may be sent instead, and it should have a similar functionality. And Malwarebytes is reporting a major increase in the number of malicious advertisements on large sites like MSN.com, BBC.com, or New York Times.com. These and other large websites were hit with this campaign, meaning that it wasn't actually the website that was compromised. Instead, the attacker essentially just purchased ads on these sites in order to deliver crypto ransomware to users. Looks like the Angler exploit kit was used in this particular attack, and it took, among others, advantage of a Silverlight vulnerability that was only published recently by MS16.6, so that was one of the bulletins released in January. And some of you may be familiar with port knocking. Port knocking is a little bit more geeky version to protect a server. In order to connect to the server, you first have to connect to certain ports in a given order, which will then relax firewall rules and allow access to the hidden service. Now, in the past, this particular sequence of ports that you had to hit was static and, of course, could easily be observed by someone observing the packets leaving the system that tries to connect or hitting the server. There's now a little bit improved implementation of this called one-time password or OTP port knocking. This particular implementation does use a one-time password algorithm in order to figure out which ports to knock based on a timestamp. Interesting little trick. Again, I think this is really a more geeky kind of home server style protection. Not necessarily recommending this for sort of enterprise systems. And if you need any more proof how easy it is to obfuscate malware so it won't be detected by antivirus, take a look at the latest blog by attactics.org. At the site, the author shows how all you have to do with shellcode in your binary is to XOR it with the letter X in order to obfuscate code sufficiently to be no longer detected on virus total. Now, he also mentioned an interesting library actually that can do some of that work for you, the Veil Evasion library, or the Veil framework, which it is a part of. So if you need to ever test whether or not people already rely on antivirus, or whether you just want to use a tool that your antivirus is blocking, here are some ideas how to get it snuck past these tools. And Trend Micro is reporting about two vulnerabilities it uncovered in the Snapdragon platform. Now, Snapdragon is a system on a chip. It's used, for example, in a number of Android phones, like, for example, the recent Nexus phones 5 and 6, as well as the 6P. This particular vulnerability, actually, it's two vulnerabilities, can be used to execute arbitrary code on the phone by a local user. So they're not necessarily remote exploitable unless you have additional issues here. The impact of the vulnerability may as well extend beyond Android to other systems that happen to use this particular system on a chip platform, but of course Android itself is probably the most widely used operating system for it. There's a patch available for Android that fixes the problem, but really the root cause is a problem with the CPU. Not a ton of details yet from Trend Micro about the vulnerability, but they say they will announce it at a conference end of May. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow.